This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
As you take a seat, if you would, just grab a Bible and turn to 1 Peter. Page number there is for you, 1014. And as you turn to 1 Peter, that's going to be our text for today, let me just briefly introduce myself. My name is Zach. I'm one of the pastors here at LifePoint Church, and I'm a part of a preaching team. We have a rotation of preachers here, and it's my great privilege and honor to be here to speak with you. And I haven't planned for this, but can I just see your eyes for just a moment? Because I just got to be really honest with you and transparent. Today is one of the days of the year that I am absolutely the most excited. I'm so pumped. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. It's a great day. And I have to be honest with you, too. I just found out minutes ago about brothers and sisters in Christ who are experiencing tremendous suffering on Easter. So we've got this mixture of great excitement and confidence and searing pain. And so I just want to pray for them for a moment. In just a second, wherever you come from, whatever you believe, we might not agree on beliefs. Can we just agree in this room that our world needs hope? Can we agree to that? So let's pray for that. God, would you bring the power of your hope to every corner of this world, especially our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka, in your name. Amen. Folks, hope is not just important for the world, although it is. It's important for you and for me individually. I would go as far as to say that hope is absolutely essential. It's like water. You can go a while without hope, but you're going to need a drink eventually. You need hope. Here's why we need hope so badly. Hope is the thing that gives you meaning and purpose. Hope is the reason you get out of bed in the morning, isn't it? And it's not just that. Hope is actually something that begins to define who you are. We get our identity in what we hope in. My question for you today, and it's a personal one, is what do you hope for? What do you hope for? What do you hope for? I was asked that question in fifth grade. I know we have some kids with us. Are there any elementary kids? You want to raise your hand real quick? Yeah, I see a few. Okay, fifth grade. Do you know what I hoped for? I had to write it down in our fifth grade yearbook. What is that, right? Fifth grade yearbook, I had to write down my greatest hope. Do you know what my hope was? I wanted to be an NBA basketball player. Yeah, come on. Everybody needs hope, and I had a hope in fifth grade. I'm telling you, it gave me a reason to get out of bed in the morning. Once in high school, over the summer, I shot, no lie, 10,000 basketball shots. But that's not the crazy part over the summer. I recorded every single shot as either a make or a miss. 10,000. It took me all summer. It got me out of bed in the morning. I mean, basketball gave me a reason to get out of bed. It gave me purpose. It fueled my living. But not only did it do that, basketball actually gave me an identity. Do you know what I wore in elementary school? Basketball shoes, basketball shorts, basketball jerseys. I thought about basketball. I watched basketball. I talked like a basketball player. Hope gave me purpose, and it gave me identity. It's so important. Do you know the only problem with that hope? I'm not an NBA basketball player. Not even close. The biggest problem was I was really, really, really bad at basketball. I practiced the wrong shot 10,000 times, and I became terrible. I was so bad. You know, it's funny when we have hopes in fifth grade, but those hopes that fade, they fade, don't they? Like my hope in basketball. I would even say my hope in basketball died when I didn't make the team. They're funny when we're in fifth grade, but they become really serious as we get older, doesn't it? Because we all have hopes, don't we? This morning I want to introduce you to a guy who had hopes. And even though he lived 2,000 years ago, don't let that fool you. He was just like you and me today. He had hopes. in dreams. His name was Peter. His name was Peter. And I assume Peter had lots of hopes and dreams. He probably hoped that he would take over the family business. He was a fisherman, right? Maybe he could make his dad's business even better. Maybe Peter hoped that he'd find a girl, you know, settle down, get married, maybe have kids, have a family. I wonder if Peter hoped for early retirement, a great pension. He had hopes just like you and me. I know that Peter was looking for hope because this one day when Peter was fishing the family business nets, right, he was working on that, this guy called out to Peter from the shore. He said, "Hey, Peter, my name is Jesus. Follow me." Do you know why I know Peter was looking for hope? He dropped what he was doing, turned in his 2 weeks' notice, and followed Jesus. He was looking for a deeper, more lasting hope. And that day, Peter was curious about hope. He didn't know yet, but he was curious about Jesus. Maybe he could point him to a deeper hope. He lived and walked and talked and ate and slept with him for 3 years, 3 years of his life. He watched all of his teaching, and it was remarkable. He was amazed. But not only that, Jesus was doing miracles. He was healing people, and Jesus was doing all these things that brought Peter's curiosity from curiosity to commitment. He put his hope in this Jesus. But then Jesus was arrested. He was put on trial, and he was murdered on a cross, and he died. Cold body, no pulse. And do you know what happened that day? Just like my hope died in basketball when I got cut from the team, Peter's hope died when Jesus died. Did you know that? Oh, I'll show you. Do you remember Peter when Jesus was on trial, and a little girl, she was probably 12 or 13 years old, they're warming their hands by a fire. She comes up to Peter and she says, "Hey, excuse me, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples?" And Peter, who had said he'd committed his life to Jesus, you know what he said? "Shh, no, shh. No, I don't know him. That's dead hope. And Jesus darkest hour, Peter denied he even knew him. But look in the Bible. I told you to turn to 1 Peter. It's called 1 Peter because he wrote it. And here's something amazing. Peter wrote this letter, a real person wrote this letter in the city of Rome. It was the center of political power of the people who had killed Jesus. Peter puts his name at the top. And he says, "I'm going to write this public letter from Rome. I'm going to disperse it all over the globe." And in this letter, he doesn't just say that he knows Jesus or he was an acquaintance with Jesus. He claims with his name at the top, "I, Peter, claim that Jesus is who he said he was. He is the Son of God." Now, that's amazing because of this question. What changed? Doesn't that amaze you? What changed? Peter, the same guy who a 12-year-old girl asks him if he knows Jesus, he says, "Shh, no, I don't know him." He denies him. What made him write a public letter that, by the way, would later get him killed? And ironically, he stayed steadfast in his confidence, his hope in Jesus, after he wrote this letter so much that he was killed, and not only killed, ironically, he was killed on a cross. What changed? How could he go from dead hope to unwavering hope? Listen to me. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. He saw him die. And then a few days later, Peter had breakfast with Jesus. That's what changed. That's what moves Peter from dead hope to "I'll die for this hope. I believe." I would put it this way. If we want to have that kind of hope, this living hope, that hope, living hope, needs a living Savior. Living hope needs a living Savior. And I'm telling us this morning, the things that we hope in will fade. They'll fade. But this morning, I believe that we can have a hope that could never die. It could never die. And all I want to do is figure out, how can we have that? So today I want to look at the reasons why, because we have a living Savior, we have living hope for our past, we have living hope for our future, and we have living hope today, right now, in this room. We have hope. Look at the text with me. We're starting in verse 3. This is 1 Peter, a letter that he wrote, and he says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's an amazing statement that I just want to pause at for just a moment. He starts his letter with an exclamation of praise, and he's not praising the universe or some kind of form of something or the spirit or something super spiritual. No, he's praising a personal, knowable God who's described as a father. And not only this, he claims here that Jesus is the son of this father. And not just that, Christ isn't his last name. He's not saying Jesus Christ like Zach Yarbrough. He's saying Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Opening words of a letter written in Rome. "Hey, my name is Peter. If you want to read this letter, I believe he's the Savior of the world." Look, he keeps going. He says, "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." Now, there's our word for today. Two words: living hope. Now, hope we got to define, because we use the word hope really differently today, don't we? When I express hope, I'm usually expressing that word as a lack of confidence. I lack confidence. So this is how I'd say it: "I hope I'm not late to work." What am I saying? I'm saying I'm running behind. I spilled coffee. There's traffic. I'm probably not going to make it. It's a lack of confidence. But hope is never used that way in the Bible. Hope's the exact opposite. It's not a lack of confidence. It's utter confidence. Firm conviction that what is hoped for will happen. That's the hope. But then Peter puts this adjective in front of it. He says, it's not just hope, it's living hope. And what does he mean by that? What's living hope? Quickly, I'd say living hope is hope that lasts, and it's hope that changes your life. That's what living hope is. It lasts, and it changes your life. I get that because Jesus used that same word, living, to describe living water to this woman by the well. And when he was referring to that, that's a spring. It's not like something that could collect rainwater, and then when the drought comes, it's out of water. This is a spring from the ground, whether it's good rain or a drought season. It's eternal, it's ever flowing. So that's hope that lasts. But there's also a type of living hope that's the living and active word. And that's because it's effective in us. It actually produces change in us. So that's the two senses of living. It lasts and it changes your life. How could we have this kind of living hope? What would be the basis of this kind of living hope? Well, Peter says that we have living hope. Because we have a living Savior, we can trust, we can have this firm confidence that he has forgiven our past. Look at the text with me. He says, according to his great mercy, we've been born again. Not a physical rebirth, but a spiritual rebirth. Why would we need mercy and a new spirit reborn in us? Why would we need that? The Bible's clear that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are actually born into that sin. Did you know, I've seen this firsthand. It's the reason why my two-year-old pushes over our infant baby little sister when they don't share. Shoves her in the head, right against the floor. "Penny, she's a baby. What are you doing? I didn't teach her to do that. It's sin from birth. She's two, and she's shoving her sister." And it's true for all of us. We've been born into sin, which is why we need rebirth, a new spirit that's not sinful. And we also need this rebirth because there's a grave penalty for sin. You see, we believe God has created us, and because he created you and me, he has rightful authority over our lives. And sin is simply this: we've rejected him. We've rebelled against his good and just authority over our lives, and we've ran away from him. I'd say this: we've even placed our hope in things other than him, our confidence, our trust. That is sin, and the penalty for that sin is death. It's death. So what's the solution? According to my great efforts, according to being a pretty nice guy, what's the basis of our hope? Verse 3, according to his great mercy. Mercy. That's the solution. This is God not giving us what we deserve, death, and instead sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. We deserve the penalty. We deserve death. And he said, I have a solution. I'll send my perfect, sinless son to take the penalty that you deserved on the cross. And then what's better, by grace, I'll give you his righteousness. That is jaw-dropping, eye-popping, mind-blowing love. The world had never seen it. It's amazing. This is our solution. But what's the hope of the resurrection? You see, if the penalty for our sin was death and Jesus was still dead, what would be our confidence that the punishment has been paid in full? You see, the moment that Jesus started breathing and his body was not resuscitated to die again, no, his heart's beating right now, 2019, resurrected to life. That is the guarantee. This is God saying, look, Jesus is alive. The punishment is paid in full. Imagine for a moment. We all have this. I have this. You have that secret thing that you've done, okay? It's secret. You haven't told a soul. And if I grabbed this microphone and I said, come on up here, tell us about it. You wouldn't dare. That thing, that deep shame, that's so painful. Do you know what it says? That it's according to God's mercy? It means his mercy is so great, it's greater than your greatest shame. When Jesus died on that cross, that thing that you did, he says, forgiven. It's sufficient, covered. That's confidence. That's hope. Here's why this is so glorious. This is why we can have this lasting and life-changing hope. Think of how this changes how you live. There's a pastor and author in New York who puts this so well. His name's Tim Keller, and he makes a difference between religion and the gospel. Religion and the gospel. Did you know that we're not religious here? And that's not our aim. Our aim's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the difference about religion. Maybe you subscribe to some world religion. Every world religion boils down to this kind of religious effort. And maybe you just consider yourself a generally religious person. You're trying to do good things here. Well, here's the difference between religion and the gospel. Keller puts it this way. He says, religion says, I do good things in the hope that I'll be accepted. Hope it works out. The gospel says, I am accepted. Therefore, I have hope and I'm free to do good things. Do you see how different this is? This could shape your entire life. Religion bases hope on what I can do. The gospel bases hope in what God has done. Religion says that I am my own savior, and therefore my hope is based on my, let's be honest, imperfect performance. But the gospel says that God is my savior in Jesus Christ, and therefore my hope is in his perfect performance. That's confidence. I can have living hope in a living savior, because my future is no longer determined by what I've done, but what Christ has done for me. This is radical. It will change your life. Maybe you're showing up to church today and you're like, man, I need to start getting back, and it's a good thing to do. You know, I need to earn some points with the big guy upstairs. That's not hope, that's wishful thinking. I want to tell you in love, it's wishful thinking. Our sin separates us from God. If your hope's in your effort, it will fail. But if we hope in Jesus and I'm accepted, I don't have to live every day in fear, trying to strive for heaven. I know my destiny and I'm free to do great things without fear. It changes my outlook on life. I get to do it out of joy. This is the hope of the resurrection. Living hope needs a living Savior for our past because He forgives our sins. But it's not just that. Living hope in a living Savior gives us hope, a trust, a firm confidence that He secures our future. Look at the text with me in verse 4. He didn't just save us from sin, He saved us to something. He says to an inheritance, an inheritance. Question, today, that word, who gets an inheritance? Children. Children get an inheritance. This is great news of the gospel. Not only did He save you from your sins, but He has welcomed you into the family. You're His. You have a new heavenly Father. And you get this inheritance. And you got to ask the question then, what is this inheritance? I want to know. Is it you know, $1 million? Is it a really cool room painted in gold? What's this inheritance? And this is a long sentence that Peter is using, so you have to work down the sentence a little further. But you get down into verse 5, and he says these two little words that point to it. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation. A salvation. What does that mean? A salvation. You see, God's not only saved us from sin, but He's saving us to something that's yet to be fulfilled. John MacArthur, a pastor and preacher, put it this way. He says, when Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the grave, not only did He free us from the penalty of sin, but He has saved us from the presence of sin in the future. There'll be no more sin. Nothing. Just glorious, blissful joy in Jesus for all eternity. Peter describes this inheritance with three words. He says, imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade. And this is so different than the hopes of this world, isn't it? You see, my hope in basketball was a dying hope. It was perishable. It could die. So maybe you're here today and you think your greatest hope, you got a lot of life ahead of you, and you want to be that track star, you know, get an Olympic gold. What happens to your hope the day you blow your ACL? It's not wrong to hope in that, but if it's your ultimate hope, what gets you out of bed? Maybe your ultimate hope is in your appearance. You love looking in the mirror. You are beautiful. You are young. Let me clue you into something. You are actually perishing, literally. You're getting older. It won't last. It won't. Don't put your ultimate hope in how you look. It's dying, but you do have an imperishable inheritance in Jesus. Not only that, the hopes of our world can be defiled, unlike our hope in heaven. Maybe your ultimate hope is in a relationship, a friend, a trusted parent, maybe it's a spouse. Everything you live for, everything you find identity in is in this relationship, and then they betray you because of sin. Or worse, you betray them. Your hope becomes defiled. It's ruined by sin. But we have a hope that can never be defiled. And our hope will never fade. There are hopes in this world, ultimate hopes, that will fade. If your ultimate hope is in the comfort of an easy retirement, you are looking forward to round after round after round of golf. Here's the bad news. Golf will get boring eventually, and if it doesn't, you'll get too old to play it. That's the bad news. Do you want to hear good news? I am so confident that there are two words you and I will never hear in heaven. It'll drop out of our vocabulary. You'll never hear these two words. Do you know what the words we'll never hear in heaven are? I'm bored. That's profound. You're saying for eternity? What? How much glorious and more glorious could heaven be that you'll never tire of it? It's not like golf. It's better. It's so glorious. It'll blow your mind. And it will never fade. Ever. This is our hope. It's not just hope for our past. It's not just hope for our future. Because we have a living Savior, we have hope today, right now. Look at the last verse with me as we close. Verse 5, he says, who? Who by God's power? Now, who is not a what? So we need to find out what its antecedent is. What does that refer to? We'll just back up one word. You. That's plural, like y'all. You all, who by God's power, not mine, are being guarded through faith for this salvation at the end of time. Do you know why we have such hope in the resurrection? Do you know why we have such hope for today? Maybe you say, yeah, God's going to keep that heavenly inheritance for me, but how will I know I'll actually make it there? I mean, I believe, but some days I don't believe. What if I mess up? Don't twist the gospel. The good news, right here in this verse, whose power sustains you? Whose power is the one through faith that will get you to that salvation? God's power in you. What? Wait, God. Okay, is this really this good? That you would give me hope for my past, the most shameful thing I've ever done. You could forgive it. But not only that, you would give me a most glorious inheritance, way better than golf. That's amazing. But you would actually, right now, today, sustain the hope I have in you by your power. Whoa. Oh, that is good news that's relevant right now as you sit in this pew. Isn't this glorious? This is living hope. It's a hope that lasts, and it's a hope that changes the way you live right now. Oh, this is so good. Don't you see the implications of this? Just imagine, maybe you don't believe in Jesus today. You'd say, that's not for me. I would say, at least I would argue this, these implications you would want to be true, even if you don't believe in Jesus. We can agree these are good things that would happen if you had this hope. I'll just give you a few. The first is this. Consider suffering for a moment. How would hope in Jesus, this living hope of the gospel, change the way you approach suffering? What is suffering except the removal of anything in this world that we could hope for? Is it not? Think about it. What is suffering? It removes any hope that this world offers. You get cancer, it takes your hope in health. You get time, like decades of time, it will take your hope in beauty. Trust me. You get rejected, it takes your hope of social acceptance. You see the stock market crash, and it will wipe away your hope in wealth or comfort or security. Gone. That's suffering. But those who are in Christ, those who place their hope, their confidence in a living Savior, have a different kind of hope. It cannot be touched by the circumstances of this world. I'll still have a reason to get out of bed in the morning. Listen to me. There are mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka this morning who are weeping. And that pain is real. It's perhaps more real than anything anyone in this room has experienced. But in Jesus, they'll have a reason to get out of bed tomorrow morning. It will be painful. It will be horrific. But there's hope in Jesus. even when there doesn't look like much hope. That is the power of living hope. It changes the way we view suffering. That's why this hope will last through anything life throws at you. But it's not just that. Another implication is this. If your living hope is in a living Savior, it frees you from self-obsession. Why do you obsess? Why do you worry? Me, hello, anxiety, struggle. That's my fight against my doubt and unbelief. When I am anxious, I've lost my hope. It's not a reality anymore. But see, I become self-obsessed in that moment. I'm too worried about myself to see others. I gotta take care of myself and my future. I'm not certain about where my future is, and I'm kind of worried about that thing that I did in the past, and I don't know if my faith will last today. No. If I have living hope for my past, my future, and today, I'm free from self-obsession. I'm free. And do you know what that means? I'm free to love people. Now Jesus' command isn't a burden to love people. Yeah, I can love people. I'm not worried about my future. Yeah, I got time. I'd love to serve you. That's the Christian hope. Radically changes how you view suffering, radically changes how you interact with other people. And a final implication is this. You want a reason to get out of bed in the morning? You build a company. You know, you try and do something awesome. You put a bunch of money and time into finding a cure of cancer. All good things. Please do those things, but they will not last. But if your hope is in Jesus, if you believe you are working for the King of Kings to build his everlasting kingdom that will make a difference for eternity, that's a reason to get out of bed in the morning. Every day. This is the gospel. It could transform your life. Folks, most hope is based on something I do. Living hope is based on something God has done. Most hopes are based on the changing external circumstances of this world. Living hope is based in the unchanging God who is sovereign over all of our external circumstances. Most hopes are based on things that will someday, sooner or later, die. But living hope? That's based on a living Savior. Check your pulse. His heart's still beating right now. Oh, living hope. It's untouchable. So maybe you're here today, and you can sort of resonate with Peter's story in a few different places. Maybe you're like Peter. You're tending the nets of your work life right now. It's 9 to 5. You're just trying to make it one day to the next. But something inside of you is tugging right now. And you've been uninterested in hope, but now you're sort of curious about hope. And maybe today you're curious about Jesus. Could I charge you with this today? Be curious about Jesus. I'm confident in that. Pursue him. Grab a Bible in the pew. You can take that home. You need some information at the guest center. We'd love to connect with you. Just be curious. Just be curious about Jesus. See if that hope changes your life. Maybe today you feel like Peter, you've been curious, and today, right now, on Easter Sunday, something's stirring in your heart, and you're saying, I don't want to be curious about this hope anymore. I want to be committed. I'm all in. I want life-changing, lasting hope in Jesus. Today, Jesus says, I loved you so much, I died for you on the cross, and the only thing you'll have to do is respond in faith. Hope. Place your confidence, your trust, your hope, your faith in Jesus this morning. It looks like this. I've placed my hope in other things, and that's my sin that I've held on to in rejecting God. And then in repentance, I drop that load. I say, I'm turning away from that, and I'm coming to Jesus. That's how you can have this life today. And in a moment, I'll give you an opportunity to pray. And then there's a third group of people. Maybe you're curious, maybe you're committed, but maybe you feel like Peter the day Jesus was arrested. You were once committed, you sang the song at camp, you prayed a prayer, but you've drifted and you've wandered back into a church because someone dragged you here and they promised you ham lunch, okay? And maybe today you're saying, I once was committed, but I want to be recommitted. There is hope for Peter, and there's hope for you. Would you recommit your life to him today? Would you place your hope, your confidence, your trust in Jesus? And so as we close here, I'm going to pray, and this is what I want you to do. You're going to pray one of three prayers, and then I want you to respond. I want you to act. I want you to declare it. And this is how you can declare it. Grab in your bulletin right now. There's a communication card. It says on the front right there. And I've tried to create this as simply as possible for you. If today God's Spirit is stirring in your heart and you want to take your next step, mark it down. If your step today is you want to be curious about hope in Jesus, mark it. If your next step is you want to be committed right now, mark it. And if you want to be recommitted, mark that, okay? And then I've tried to make it so easy. All you have to do, all I'm asking is just put your first name. That's all I need. Do you know why? It's because I believe in this God. I want to pray to him, the God of gods, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I want to pray using your first name. That's why. That's it. And if you want more, if you want us to reach out and contact you, or if you have questions, you want to connect, please continue below. You can write your email, your phone, whatever you want. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to follow up and pray with you directly. But if all you want to do this morning is put your first name, let us know. What step are you taking? What step are you taking? And then in a moment, as the plates pass, all I'll ask is you drop that into the plate. And that's an act of commitment, of worship to God. So I'm going to pray these three prayers, curious, committed, or recommitted. If that's you, pray this with me. Let's all bow our heads at this time and pray. Dear Jesus, we pray that the power of your Spirit would move right now in our hearts. And Lord, I believe, and I've been praying for, that there are people in this room who have been totally uninterested in you, Jesus, but they're curious about you. And so, Lord, I join them with them right now, and we just pray together, if we're curious, just a simple prayer. God, I don't even know if you exist. I don't know if you're up there, but will you reveal yourself to me? I'm curious. And Lord, I know there are other people in this room who are saying today, I've been seeking for something and I'm ready. I want to take a step of commitment to you. I join them in praying this prayer right now. Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner, that I could never earn your grace or heaven, but that God, you sent your son Jesus to die for me, that I could have hope in you. I believe. I put my faith and trust and hope in you, Jesus. And I believe now that I am yours forever. I'm committed. And Lord, I know that there are other people in this room who've walked away from faith in you and they want to be recommitted. And so I join them in praying this prayer right now. God, I don't know where I've been. I've been wandering from you and I've wandered here today. And I just want to come to you and say, bring me back. Bring me back to you. Restore my faith in you, and I want to recommit my life to you today. We pray all of these things, our curious prayers, our committed prayers, and our recommitted prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.